Hello and welcome back to the third in our series of podcast discussions with commercial fishers and onshore businesses that will be impacted by the draft GSMP plan as it is currently put together. And for those that don't know, we'll make sure we put this in the podcast description and through Facebook, that there is a consultation RIS that people need to start reading and to understand the perspective of those that are going to be decimated by what is being proposed under that plan. So by way of introduction, my guest today is part of the onshore businesses that are relying on commercial fishing to exist in the GSMP and parts beyond. But more to the point, the people in the onshore businesses, like commercial fishermen, are investing in their industry, and the plan as it stands is going to throw a not too small but quite massive spanner in the works for these people that have chosen to invest local and chosen to support industry because of their love for and support of fresh local seafood. So by way of introduction, I'd like to welcome to the podcast Lincoln Kirshner. How are you, Lincoln?
Not too bad, Eric.
Lincoln, thank you for joining me today. So give us a bit of a background to the business and why you got started, and then we'll get into the questions proper.
The reason I got started was simply I turned a hobby into a job, which was, you know, smoking fish, which was a lot of people's hobbies, actually. And I just had a bit of a knack for it, I guess. And it's essentially come around by everybody saying you should do something with this, like a lot of those cottage industry startups. We did a fair bit of R&D to see if there was a calling for the product. It appeared there was, but still unproven at that point. And then we did a lot of due diligence on the types of products that we wanted to use, and particularly sustainability, given day and age and the way things were moving. We thought that would be something that we should do to ensure our future. I guess the company, we registered the company in 2017, and we actually produced our first saleable product, I think, sometime after Easter 2018. So, I mean, I'm a fairly recent newcomer to the industry.
Let's get to the first of our three topic areas, if we can, and this is why the investment in the region, and what steps did you go through to make the call to do what it is that you're doing in the smokery?
Literally, it was, I suppose, push comes to shove. I was doing nothing else at the time. That's essentially, I really enjoy the fishing industry. I've been in and out of it. You know, my father was a commercial fisherman, and so was my grandfather, and predominantly commercial mullet netters in the Bundaberg area, particularly in places like Baffle Creek and the Kalan and the Burner. So I had a good sense of what good quality seafood was, as I'd, you know, lived and grown up with it. Most fishermen's sons have had fish for breakfast with toast more often than not, I think, you know. So smoking of fish was in the family. Kipper box is always a 44-gallon drum with a wet hessian bag thrown over the top of it. So that was a fairly regular staple at our house with, you know, it was white sauce and mashed potatoes and garlic beans, garlic butter beans was sort of the thing. My mother still does it to this day. It really come down to, I seen a hole in the market. I seen locally, or our front was always produced far outside of my local area, because it is a product that a little bit does go a long way. Now, after eating some of what was already available, particularly the imported or the aquaculture produce, I was relatively unimpressed, and I felt I could do better. So that's sort of what led to the entire business model.
That, Lincoln, leads us nicely into the next topic area, is you can't produce what you're producing and value adding to a product without access to that product. So explain to me, if you can, from your perspective, what is being proposed in that consultation, Riz. What is that going to mean for a business like yourself?
It's going to mean a lot. It comes down to, and this is where we chose initially the species that we would use. When I say we did our due diligence, we contacted all of the relevant authorities at the time, and this is around about 2017, were given a fairly unanimous vote that those species that we considered the ones to be most used, where we were not going to be affected as a business model. And, you know, those thumbs up come from fairly high top brass in FQ and FRDC, people like that, who, when you're a newcomer to the industry, they pointed us in the direction to the people to talk to. So we chose on those grounds the tropical mackerel species, which are available to us locally in Bundaberg, mullet, which works very well as a value adder. Things like blue salmon, to a lesser extent, queenfish, generally because of its public acceptance. But all those sorts of things do work. And I do a lot of value adding in the way of pâtés and stuff like that, where we smoke fish and then produce a usable, easily understood product for the people who aren't generally across that sort of stuff. Now, what we've now come up against is, well, A, we've got hit pretty hard with the quotering systems on the said units that I was, the said species I was talking about. Then we were hit directly with the debacle with Spanish mackerel. It is currently about 70% of what I do. Now, to top that off, we now have the Sandy Straits Marine Park dropping green zones over the very areas that I know my mackerel fishermen source from. Particularly, it's quite at heart that my son went with one of my local mackerel fishermen only a couple of weeks ago on the school holidays and caught some very nice mackerel from what is going to be a green zoned area, you know. So they made their way to the shop, and I think quite a lot of those photos made their way to social media. So, you know, it is true to personally to heart. It's a personal hit. But I work with local Bundaberg fishermen predominantly. I've got a few to the north, but mostly in Bundaberg and a little in Harvey Bay. And to watch the impact of these guys are getting now that they've been quoted, the species have been quoted. You know, QF have told them that it is a environmentally sustainable level that they're quoted at. And now we have a marine park coming through and removing their ability to catch even what they have. They've been hit with a double whammy. Now, I'm the guy who cops a flow on from these. I require these people to be able to go to work so I can go to work. And my customer base turns up here or wherever they buy my product, particularly restaurants, want local fish. Now, the premise that I understand is everybody seems to want local fish, but nobody seems to want to provide it locally, you know, or have it taken from their local resource. And yet they get somewhat upset when they have an alternative on the shelf to buy, be it aquaculture or imported.
Couple of things to pick up there, Lincoln. One being for those that you supply the product to, given what's coming with the zoning, I'll reach out to them through this podcast, I guess, but you need to make your feelings known to the Minister for the Environment through the application process or contact us at QSIA to outline your concerns around not being able to access product from Lincoln that is caught locally. And the second observation I would make is it's very interesting that quota management zoning came in for the fishermen that are in the GSMP with what the department has stated are sustainable levels of catch. We went through the whole rigmarole of that process based on no science, but we accepted the zoning for what it is because we had to do it to keep working. And then they introduced VMS, and suddenly many years after we've had very initial conversations with DS about what the zoning might look like, suddenly a lot of people's patches where they fish have been zoned out of existence with new green zones. So you would wonder if VMS data and the processes that were undertaken by one department were used by another to create the zoning that we've got, because what we see is a net-free zone or a recreational fishing-only area by another name, which is unacceptable, and all to the point that once this kicks in, the effect is going to be along the seafood supply chain in the region, and that it demonstrates, as you said, the connectedness between those that are catching and harvesting this local fresh local product, getting it to you and others for sale to the public at points in the GSMP and beyond. And that hasn't been factored into the RIS. I can't see the in-depth economic analysis done by the Department of the Environment, because you would assume reading that document that there are thousands of commercial fishermen working in the GSMP, which is nowhere near the truth of things. I've heard an estimate of roughly 50 full-time equivalent commercial fishers in the GSMP altogether. That's not a lot of commercial fishermen for an area the size of the Grey Sandy Marine Park, yet here we are, Lincoln. Let me ask you one final question, and this is around education around commercial fishing and recreational fishing. You have some views on this. Can you share them with us, please?
Well, it's been noted since I've been in this business, I've taken a fairly strong interest in the way particularly QF have projected to the general public, consider themselves an education of sorts to help the layman and those outside of the arena, particularly also of the concerns within Queensland Fisheries. Now, they broach this generally with the public on a day-to-day basis through social media, I think Facebook being the main platform they use. And I love to follow and read some of the comments section of, I believe, mostly ill-informed across many sectors, and that's from the recreational sector through to the environmental sector on, I guess, what they are very much doing is just virtue signaling. It's a very sad thing to see that our hard-earned taxpayer dollars goes into this sort of thing where they could be using those resources and showing the findings from the studies that they've actually done in the past years. And talking very much on the net-free zones, there was a fairly comprehensive one, I believe, done up in the Cairns Inlet and the net closures up there, comparing the closed to the unclosed areas for, I think, kilo to effort per unit result as a reco fisher. Now, those results should be published by somebody like FQC, and we've paid for these things, you know, so they're quite happy to employ people. And there's many, many studies that have been done scientifically under the scientific fish management banner that are done, and only those in the close-knit groups ever get to see the result. They bang on their small drum, it doesn't get into the broader community. But I think if the broader community is paying for it, they should at least be able to see the result, and it should be open and an honest discussion, regardless of whose agenda it suits.
Getting information out about the true status of the fishery is not something Fisheries Queensland, for those listening, that's what FQ is the acronym for. Yeah, definitely more work needs to be done there. So, Lincoln, as a final statement from you as a key stakeholder in this process and someone who's going to be impacted by it all, what would you say if you had a chance to meet with the Minister for the Environment about where this plan is potentially going?
Well, I guess, you know, I constantly get told when we're dealing with government departments that you've got to remove the personal emotion out of it, because they generally don't use that to make decisions. However, I'm currently, as a businessman, put in quite a tight position where I've got to make some very, how would I put it, strategic moves and it has nothing to do with the fishery, but it requires me to make a large investment in a very soon while. Now, I would want to know how somebody whose income's not affected by these decisions can look across at somebody like myself, knowing the decisions that I've got to make, and I have no confidence given all of the hits we've taken. And as I've just spoken, I've been in business a little over 4 years. So we're not talking a long span of time. You know, all this stuff has compounded and dropped on us over such a short time. How are they going to work with us? Because they certainly haven't done up till this date. None of us got any indication this was happening until it was released in the media, was it?
The last time we had any substantial meetings with representatives from the Department of Environment was around 2019. So we're talking 3-odd years ago. And if you factor in COVID, when everyone sort of went quiet because having face-to-face meeting was difficult, you had an election somewhere in that mix as well, things were delayed. So the question we can't answer, and obviously, is did this plan come up as early as that 2019, has just been sitting there waiting for something to happen? And that wait is definitely around the introduction of quota and vessel tracking in the state. I think you can't separate the two, mate, unfortunately. Lincoln, thank you for your time today, mate. This has been great, and we will be pushing on to talk to others that are going to be impacted by this. So thank you for your time today, mate.
Thank you very much, Eric. Thank you.
For those listening, this has been the QSIA podcast series. Thank you for joining us once again, and we'll be back with more content and discussions around the proposed zoning of the GSMP, rezoning, sorry. Thank you again for your time. We'll catch everyone on the next podcast.